97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This show was recorded before Mark Cox went to go see Sammy Hagar and before the show was canceled.
Hello, baby!
Great way to start off Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
He's playing this for me because I went to see Sammy Hagar at the Illinois State Fairgrounds.
How old is that guy? Is he almost 70?
72?
No, 72. Come on. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
And doesn't act, I'm hoping that when I'm 72, I still got that much energy.
I know, he is outstanding, and now he's at a year break.
73.
Come on!
He'll be 74 at his big birthday party in 10-13.
Yeah. October 13th.
So is he dyeing his hair? Is he the gray rocker?
No, I'll have to tell you, just to step into politics here for a moment, if you want to see something funny, there's a side-by-side picture of Sammy Hagar and Bill Clinton. And they're the exact same age.
Are they really?
Just Google Sammy Hagar and Bill Clinton, and that picture will pop up, and you won't believe that the difference between what sex and drugs and rock and roll can do to you versus politics. They're the same age. Like, you know, it's fantastic. Isn't that something?
Turn that
around there so that Bo can see that.
Jeez.
It's a dramatic difference. Sammy Hagar is about 1 year younger than Bill Clinton.
And you know what? I bet it is. Sammy Hagar sleeps good at night.
And Bill sleeps with one eye open. That's the difference.
I'm thinking.
I know.
That's not what the caption says here. It says, Bill sleeps with Hillary.
No! I do want to reference, since we're talking about rock stars, after the passing of Dusty Hill from ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah.
I never did hear about the Washington Town and Country Fair.
It happens.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. But who played the bass?
Their guitar tech.
Oh, perfect.
The same guy that has been filling in for Dusty for the entire
time. Love that. Yeah. But one of my favorite Instagram posts is, you may be cool, but you'll never be Dusty Hill in the front row of a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert. Cool. Look at that. Play Freebird.
Freebird.
Isn't that great?
Nice.
Yeah. I'll put that on my Instagram account if you want to see that.
I'm so glad I went to see them a few years ago when they were in St. Louis. And
Kid Rock Show?
No.
Was it the Casey birthday party?
Might have been.
That was the year that John Hewlett, Learn, and I dressed up as ZZ Top for Halloween.
Didn't ZZ Top warm up for Sammy Hagar?
They did.
That's the show I saw.
Ah.
Yeah,
because I was there for Hagar, and we also got there early enough to watch ZZ Top, and it was outstanding.
I don't know if I told you this, and this is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
Which concerts are outdoors?
They are.
I saw Kid Rock, and ZZ Top opened for him, and my wife and I was like, I've never seen ZZ Top. I want to see the show. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, all that music out of three people? What?
I know, it's amazing.
I could not even believe that.
It's like Rush.
And then I looked up their ages, and then I about fell over. So.
And no, 70s. I'm not, for those you rock heads out there, I'm not comparing the musical genius of Rush and ZZ Top. I think Rush is the better
musician.
Group of musicians, don't get me wrong.
ZZ Top's blues.
It's a three-person band is the point.
Right.
The three
trio.
People making all that noise.
All great.
Fantastic.
All great stuff.
No, I called it noise. I love both of them. Don't get me wrong.
Mark was outside and he saw Sammy Hagar this week. This show was recorded before Mark Cox went to go see Sammy Hagar and before the show was canceled.
And then I just heard the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater Maroon 5 thing. Is it only vaccinated can go see?
Either have to be vaccinated or you have to have a COVID test that's negative within 48 hours of the time you show up at the gate over there.
Now, the one with yours was 72 hours. The Illinois State Fair was 72
right,
hours.
The Illinois
right.
State Fair, would they even offer to give you your money back if you couldn't abide by their rules. You either had to wear a mask in the stands, which was pretty miserable in 95-degree weather.
This show was recorded before Mark Cox went to go see Sammy Hagar and before the show was canceled.
But if you were down on the track, which was right in front of the stage, the pit, so to speak, standing room only, you had to be vaccinated to be down there.
Sure.
And they're giving away shots all over the place up there. There were seven different locations within the fairgrounds where you could go get a poke if you are so inclined.
So we're calling it a poke now. I've heard jab for a few weeks. To me, jab is only you know, a boxing term. But yeah, yeah, okay. You too, Carl. Yeah. But so you can buy your funnel cake and get the shot and you're good.
You can.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Deep fried Oreo or whatever it is.
So I saw this story and I shared it with you because you just came back from your Wild Wild West vacation.
The great outdoors. Me and several thousand of my closest friends. I mean, the parks are crowded these days. We never got in a remote enough area where I felt alone, mm-hmm. really. There were always people somewhere around you. But I can tell you what, this video that you're about to talk about, I know exactly, I might have passed out.
I thought it was your video. I mean, because you're the only guy that I know went out west to go hunt for, not hunt, but go search for bears, because I know that's what you were doing secretly. This giant, would you call it a grizzly? I don't even know if it's a grizzly or a brown bear.
I think it was a brown bear. If I read that correctly, because black bears can be brown, but I think that was in Alaska.
Well, we've all seen the safaris where people are in their jeep or whatever, and the elephant walks by, or the giraffe walks by, or the tiger or whatever. This guy is like literally not in a vehicle, standing on the side of the trail, and this, what I would call, I mean, I'm almost 300, I'd say 700-800 pound
it's
bear.
It's a big bear.
Strolling by, kind of looks at him, keeps on walking by, walks up to the visitor board, you know, where they staple all the information and stuff. And there's a picture of a bear, and he looks right at it like, hey, good, my picture's still up, and turns around and walks away. The guy that was filming this, or the people that were there, I mean, cojones, like you would not believe.
they tell you not to run, so the only thing you're supposed to do is back off the trail.
He was talking to him, too.
And give them the trail, talk to them calmly, don't yell.
No cubs around, too. That's a big thing.
That's true. Okay. That's true. Most of the time, these bears apparently have no interest in you. There are clearly exceptions to that, like when they have babies with them. That would have scared me to death. Can I just say that? Might have had to change pants before leaving the trail.
Absolutely. I mean, the just him talking to him, hey, you know, doing the hey bear thing.
Oh,
hey,
I know.
Why
hey
bear. I just don't get it. But
why
anyway,
draw attention to yourself?
Right. But this show is about the great outdoors as well. And of course, you know, be careful when you're out there. But I sent this article to you about researchers in the University of Vermont studied 50 million tweets a day, scoring the happiness of people's words to monitor the national mood.
Not on Twitter. Twitter's a cesspool.
No, Mark, just wait till you hear the results.
Okay.
No, this you pretty much, you called it. It's fake news. One consistency from the study, being outdoors, make you feel better, makes you happy, and specifically parks. And Missouri, definitely, I don't know, haven't been to a lot of Illinois parks, Mark, but the state of Missouri does such a great job on the parks. The county parks are fantastic. But it makes us happier. Researchers looked at anonymous Twitter data for the study, and tweets from parks and after-park visits were more positive. The powerful effects of nature are strongest in large parks with more trees, but smaller neighborhood parks also provide a significant boost. So my point to you is to get out. Get out. I mean, we all need a break from the conversation, you know, once in a while, and it's nice when you can have a conversation, you don't even talk about the C word.
Well, I was at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area where the Mississippi and the Missouri meet to get pictures with the sunflowers. We were 3 days too late because all the sunflowers are mostly dead because it was so hot this week.
Right,
and everyone
right.
last week on Facebook and social media, everyone was posting pictures. Everybody was out with the sunflowers. If we would have gone last week,
you would have had
it would have been beautiful.
Try Brookdale Farms out in Eureka.
Well, we've been calling everyone and they're saying because, you know, the heat killed them all.
Killed them?
Yes.
In Brookdale?
Because we called three different places. Oh. We actually went to Columbia Bottom. We called Eckert's and my wife called that place that you were talking
Brookdale,
about. And they said, you missed it.
Oh.
So, because it was 110 heat index this week, did not do well for the sunflowers.
Well, my point is just get out.
Get out.
But
get
we
out,
were there, and there were lots of people at this conservation area. I'd never been up there. It's up by Spanish Lake.
Oh, beautiful area.
It was wonderful.
Speaking of getting away, I read this story, and I thought you guys would find it interesting because I can personally relate to it. Here's the headline. TSA finds unloaded gun in carry-on bag at Detroit Metro Airport, the 37th firearm found so far this year. So clearly,
what's the problem?
Well, it's illegal to carry a firearm on an airplane without checking the bag. This was in somebody's carry-on bag, and they didn't declare it when they got to the airport. So this happens pretty regularly. I'm surprised the media still covers it the way they do with such shock and awe. This is evidence to me of the multitude of people who claim to be journalists who have no real life experience. They've never owned a gun, but they write about them all the time. They've never concealed carried a gun. When you conceal carry a gun, the point is to conceal it. You might keep it in your briefcase. You might keep it on your person. I have a very good friend who went to the St. Louis Lambert Airport. He was in a hurry. He was leaving for a trip, grabbed his briefcase, ran to the airport, gets in the TSA line, forgets he's got his handgun in his bag, right? He's not there with any ill intent. Usually they'll give you an opportunity to take the handgun back to your home and lock it up, right? Or back to your car and lock it up if you want to. But not always. And even if they catch you with it, period, they can fine you up to $13,000.
Oh, my. I've never heard that.
Here's my complaint about it. It's all random. It's not a law. It's a TSA ordinance that they've passed. I don't know who decides how much they can charge you or who can't. So my buddy has an opportunity, takes his gun back, locks it up, gets on the flight, leaves. 2 months later, he gets a letter from the TSA telling him that they've imposed a $5,000 fine. It appears to be completely random, the amount. They're telling him they've imposed a $5,000 fine on him for accidentally having his concealed carry license.
And
for accidentally having his concealed carry gun with him when he got to the airport.
And he took care of it. As they said, they suggested you take it home or lock it up.
Yeah. He took care of it, yeah. They didn't confiscate it.
So what's the problem?
What the problem is we have a screwed up system in this country people can be penalized.
How can they send a letter like this if he did what they said?
They're authorized by the act that created the TSA to impose a civil penalty for people who get caught doing this. And I don't know who they are. They get to decide how much it's going to be. So he got a lawyer and they negotiated it down to $500. But he still had to send them a check for $500 to make this problem go away.
Man, so many things.
That's a Bush era.
2 years ago, I'm flying to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I fly to Washington, D.C. I do a two-day meeting out there. I'm flying back. I get to Ronald Reagan Airport in D.C. We're standing in line. My producer and I have gone through the line. We're waiting, and we're looking back, and suddenly two or three people go over to look at the little X-ray machine. And I say to my producer, look, some dummy must have left something in their bag. It was me.
What'd you leave?
It was me. I left a 9mm magazine, loaded magazine.
Just the magazine.
Not the weapon.
In a side pocket of my backpack.
You had no problem getting to D.C. with it.
Got through TSA in St. Louis. They never saw it.
Wow.
They caught it at Ronald Reagan, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm in the nation's capital. I'm in trouble now. They call me over there. They called in a Virginia cop because that's across the river. They asked me if I was a concealed carry holder. I showed them my license. They said, we have to do a background check to make sure that you're not, you know, a felon in possession. If everything checks out, we're going to let you go. At this point, I'm afraid I'm going to miss my plane. He said, we do have to confiscate the magazine. So that's a $35 or $40 magazine. Plus, these days, the bullets are probably worth more
than
the magazine. And so I'm like, that's fine. Take it. I'll buy another one. They let me go. 3 months later, I get a letter from them saying that, out of the goodness of their hearts, effectively, they decided not to fine me, but they were restricting me from the easy check-in process that they have now.
TSA pre-check.
TSA pre-check.
Really?
They said, you will not be eligible for TSA pre-check for like 4 years. Well, I've never been a member of it anyway.
It's a three-year program.
But that was their penalty for me getting caught carrying. Now, my point is, was I going to pull the bullets out and throw them at people? What real threat did that pose?
Well,
it's silly season in America.
Hold on. Let me push back a little bit, because there are guns that have been made with 3D printers that do not show up. They're made of a composite, that kind
sure.
of thing. So a one-time use firearm, you know, I could have carried that on, and
you
I'm
could
sitting,
have been the accessory.
I know that they have reasons, right? And if you don't have a firearm, but there are those to say, in other words, a throwaway gun,
yeah,
a composite gun that can actually fire those bullets. But the point is, this is absurd. The other thing that is absurd, if you are a CCW holder and you carry a firearm on your person, please don't go on Facebook and say, hey, this is my new CCW firearm.
Oh.
That's like, that drives me more crazy than people posting dead animals on it. Like, anyway.
Yeah. So that's my story. Just be warned of what you're going to face. It usually doesn't end up in arrest, but they can civilly fine you up to $13,000 if you accidentally forget your concealed carry firearm in your bag and you try to get through security with it, even if it's an accident.
Unbelievable.
Just check crazy. Your bags, everyone. Hey. This show was recorded before Mark Cox went to go see Sammy Hagar and before the show was canceled.
We're just getting started on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. If you ever caught a big fish, see if you've caught one this big. It's coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory. There are people that shoot fish, I guess. If you're looking for a gun, I don't know. If you're looking for a gun, maybe even a silencer for your weapon, Razorback Armory is a gun concierge in De Pere on Manchester Road next door to the tennis store. Find directions and all about the great store and the great staff at Razorback Armory at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Yeah, and I've been in there before, by the way, and the minute they found out who I was and who I worked for, they said, oh, you know Bo Matthews.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's the first thing they said to me, honestly. Yeah, I had a great experience.
That probably wasn't the way it should have went. You should have said, Bo sent me, and then that would have checked the box for me. But that's all right, Mark.
That's why I didn't get that discount. Now I know.
And you know what?
Now I get it.
Bo, there are people that shoot fish.
I know there are.
And we have one with them on the air.
Yeah, and it didn't shoot with a laser, didn't shoot with a firearm, shot it with a bow, and I saw this, and I thought, oh, we've got to. So I send this story to Carl Middleman, and of course, you tracked him down.
I did.
The Missouri Department of Conservation confirms that Matt Newling of Perryville is the latest state record holder under alternative methods after shooting a colossal, I can't even imagine seeing it, 125-pound and 5-ounce, don't forget about the 5-ounce, big head carp. First of all, congratulations, Matt, and welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Thank you.
So tell us about this experience, Matt, because, I'm not the best fisherman in the world. I've caught a few, I don't know, 5-pound trout maybe. What was it? Is this the biggest fish you've ever caught?
Yes, I mean, by far the biggest. I mean, the second biggest fish I ever pulled in my boat was a 75-pound blue cat.
Wow.
Catfish. And but yeah, I mean, by far, this here was the biggest fish I've seen in person and all. I mean, like, we're out there that Saturday or whatever, or Friday night, and bow fishing, and we start on the bigger lake out there, and we shot quite a few grass carp and everything, and toward the end of it, my trolling motor broke, and we haven't made it to that other part of the lake yet where I shot that big one. And so we pulled the boat out of the water, trying to figure out what we could do to make the trolling motor work again. And we found a way, and we went back out on the water again and shot a few more fish that night, and all of a sudden pulled up into this cove, and there it was. I thought was a 30-pound grass carp, about 4 or 5 feet deep in the water, and pulled back. Me and Buddy both shot it, and our arrows both took off. Buddy hit his stopper on his reel, and then right away his arrow popped out of that fish. So only arrow in that fish at the time was my arrow now.
And that's why it's your record, right?
Yep.
Yo, hey, some friends and I were talking about this. Can you tell us the lake that you got this fish out of? Because is there a lake called Perry Lake?
Lake Perry.
Lake Perry. That's
Lake Perry. A lot of people think it's Perry County, but there are two different lakes.
Gotcha. Okay. And how old a guy are you?
I'm 23.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, I saw your quote in there with the Department of Conservation, Matt, and you said that every time you go out, you're hoping to set a record. Really?
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, I've been fishing ever since I was little, and I mean, I've been fishing on my own in my own boat for over, well, since I was 16 years old, and I go all public and private lakes around, even to Mississippi. And I mean, my record is, or my thing is, just to catch a monster fish and hopefully get a record.
So have you seen the movie Have you seen the movie Big Fish? When I saw the picture, that's exactly what I thought of. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Okay, well, get that out of Redbox or wherever you can find it. Did I see a headline? Maybe there's a fake headline out there that said it was a world record. Is that not true?
Yeah, on BAA, the world record with a bow is like 104.
So it is a world record.
Yeah.
Yes. All I'd have to do right now, which I'm trying to get a hold of BAA right now, and I have to register and then post some photos and then the weight, proof of the weight and all that, and it'll be set.
Wow. What did they tell you at the Department of Conservation? What did they tell you about the fish? I mean, do they have any idea how long it takes one of these to grow that big? And then because clearly it's exceptional.
They said it was around 10-plus years. I mean, me personally, I would think it would be more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking 30 or so, 25, 30 years old is what I would think. I mean, I don't know how long fish live, but I mean, growing, say, 6 pounds a year, that's quite a bit for a fish. I mean,
yeah, I think.
I mean, a catfish, I mean, a big blue cat in the river ain't going to grow no 5 pounds a year almost. I mean, it can potentially maybe, but I don't think it would.
Okay, so everybody's familiar with the item that you said that could fit in the mouth. So if you're listening to this and maybe you've not heard of this story about Matt Newling getting this huge monster fish, what could you place in its mouth, do you believe?
A 5-gallon bucket.
The mouth of a 5-gallon bucket.
Full of tartar sauce would be good.
Yeah. So speaking of which, since Bo brought that up, Matt, what'd you do with the fish? Is it good eating? Or are you trying to get it mounted? What are you doing with it?
Biologists from Missouri or conservation or whatever, they took the head right away. I pulled all the measurements for it and everything just in case I would want to get it mounted. But, I mean, I was talking a lot of people. Like, I try calling Bass Pro and everything like that. And I talked to conservation to see if they'd want it for their showcase.
The aquarium downtown?
Yeah. And, I mean, I figured, I mean, that big a fish, someone would want it. But, I mean, no one really wants it for their showcase. And so, I mean, I use a lot of it for cut bait for my trout lines that I put on the river.
To catch a bigger fish.
And I could always mount it still since I have measurements of it and everything, but in pictures. But, yeah, I mean, I know people are like, why didn't you eat that fish? Well, whenever you leave a fish in a barrel overnight for 8 hours in the hot heat,
yeah,
I mean, it really ain't no good no more.
Not really.
No. But
and I mean, obviously the conservationists and everything agreed, same thing, because they asked me what I was going to do with it, and I mean, they knew right away, I mean, you ain't going to eat that fish.
So, Matt, you said you fished the Mississippi. Have you done noodling? Because your name almost says you're a noodler.
No.
Never done that?
Nope, never done it.
No desire?
No.
Me neither.
I have no desire in doing it.
I just always envision myself digging up under that bank and getting a hold of a big old snapping turtle.
Snapping turtle,
never had any desire to try to do that.
Because you would lose.
Yeah, immediately.
Wow, and what do you do for a living, Matt?
I'm a pipe welder over at Roslyn Associates over in Redbud, Illinois.
Wow, you travel a long way. Well, God bless you, man, and congratulations. Yeah. This is fantastic. Yeah, no, and what's your next challenge? You going? Where are you going? You going back?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
How did you get into bow fishing rather than using reel?
Me and my dad used to do it back when I was really young, and I mean, I just kind of kept doing it since, and I do it now with a lot of buddies, and we go Kentucky about every other weekend or so and go down there and shoot fish.
Okay, so when you get this fish and you know your arrow's through it, it's secure, do you get it in the boat? Do you drag it to shore? How did you get it? How did you acquire it?
Well, I got it close to the boat, and my buddy put another arrow in it, and we got it right up next to the boat, and I had to get my gaff and gaff in it. Me and him both drug it up in the boat.
Wow. Well, it's certainly an impressive catch, Matt Newling. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. Record holder Matt Newling of Perryville, 125-pound, 5-ounce big head carp.
Carl, keep his number, because I believe there's other records in the future, man.
He's 23 years old. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
that's
absolutely
fantastic.
He is.
So we need to get a hold of the Bowfishing Association of America and help him get his world record.
Guinness doesn't want nothing to do with this, or maybe the BAA gets to
it. I think it's a step-by-step process.
That's impressive. Have you ever had a world record for anything?
Oh, no. No. I don't think so.
Radio.
Not even that here. I don't think so, because you got people that have been on the radio a long time in St. Louis, that's for sure. Hey, coming up, do you like to have fun? Is there a lady in your life who's into the shooting sports or maybe hunting? We got something that we found here locally. Usually they pack the house for this. It's only for girls, so guys, part of this is not going to apply to you, but maybe it's something your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other might like. We're going to tell you about it coming up here in just a couple of minutes on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say.
Carl, I have to give you a business, little kudos there for some creative bump music.
Bo loves this song.
Big iron on his hip.
I love this song.
What a voice, man. You got a set of pipes.
Marty Robbins says nothing on Bo Matthews.
Yeah, Marty. R.I.P.
Yeah, that's true. You got Chuck's Boots. You want to talk about Chuck's Boots?
No. They do sponsor this segment. And the cool thing about it is Chuck's and Thoroughgood Boots, which I wear every weekend and sometimes during the week when it's cool enough to work outside. Thoroughgood and Chuck's Boots teamed up to give away a Polaris General 1000, beautiful side-by-side with the American flag scheme on it. You got to look at it. You got to see it. You got to get registered for it. No purchase necessary. Go to chucksboots.com or go to Chuck's Boots Facebook page. Maybe do both. And get registered to win it, because it will be given away to somebody for free. Chucksboots.com.
All right, ladies, pay attention, because we got something special for you, or if you're looking for something for your loved one who is of the female persuasion, who likes to go out and hang out with the girls and shoot guns. My friend Phil Balsamo joining us from the Range St. Louis West. He happens to be the training manager over there, and you can join him on morning coffee with Phil every morning on Facebook. He gives you a little tour of the range and what they've got in new overnight. It's fantastic. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad we could get you back on the radio here to talk about this. I follow you guys on Facebook. It kind of keeps me up to date on what you've got in stock and all of that stuff, which is great. But I noticed the other day you guys had another one of your Girls Just Want to Have Guns events. I've seen them before. In fact, I believe maybe Trisha and Denise from my show have been out there before in the past.
Absolutely, they have.
This thing sells out all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, every month. Yeah, wow. We do it the second Wednesday of every month, and we sell out usually 2 months ahead. It's an extremely popular event.
And how many fit in the class?
30 ladies.
Wow. And do you start off with completely novice, or do you have to have does the female have to have some experience?
Oh, no, zero experience. This is very much geared towards the brand new shooter. You come out, you're nervous about being at a gun range. And we make it an extremely fun, friendly environment, and ladies have a great time.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it's been described to me. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions here, but sometimes it can be intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
If you're around, you know, other people who are more experienced shooters and you feel like you're a greenhorn, you don't know what's going on. That the whole idea of this, I'm assuming, Phil, is just to put people at ease.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's this sport of shooting has been a very heavily male dominated sport for a very long time. So some ladies come in here very apprehensive about what they're doing, and they're nervous about literally just walking in the door. And we have a very open and welcoming, warm environment that seems to put a lot of that tension at ease. And that's what we aim to do.
I think it's so important. And, it's actually shocking because in my experience, my wife, my daughter, all are actually a better shot than me. And I don't know what that is. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. So it's very, very common when we have new shooters in the store and one happens to be male and one happens to be female, that the female will outshoot the male almost every time.
Is that because they envision the male's face on the target?
Whoa.
By chance? No, I'm just kidding.
Possible.
How about the ex-male? I thought it was about, you know what? I actually thought it was about their low blood pressure. My wife and I both had we were at a heart event for BJC and they both, mm-hmm. they took our blood pressure. And my wife's was like extremely calm.
Sure.
And I was like, you're like a serial killer.
Yeah.
And they tested my blood pressure and it was actually really good. And I was like, yeah, she says you have the blood pressure of a 16-year-old. I'm like, yep, there you go. Anyway, I get excited about a new firearm. And I know, Mark, you just bought a 10 millimeter.
Yeah. Last year, in fact, at the range, I went up and picked it up in a Glock 20.
So your first experience with it, there's butterflies. You're excited about shooting this thing for the first time, right? I mean, I think anybody has that experience.
Yeah. And it's good. Because Phil, correct me if I'm wrong here, but in talking to Ron McCain in the past, a good percentage of people who've been through the doors at the range in the last year, year and a half during this COVID mess, a lot of them were first time gun buyers.
Absolutely, yeah. Lots and lots of first-time gun buyers, which is awesome, and for me as a trainer, a little overwhelming because we've had lots of those brand new shooter questions and tons of the brand new shooter classes happening, and it's been great to see them actually getting some training to help speed up that learning curve a little bit.
Yeah, you do those obviously in group classes, but you also do private training at the range, don't
mm-hmm.
you? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
A question for you on this Girls Just Want to Have Guns program. You said it loads up, a couple months out, so you want to get booked or scheduled. This is not a CCW class, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's a CCW by the state of Missouri is mandated to be a minimum of 8 hours long.
Okay.
This is a general gun safety class, like, basics of how to hold the gun and how to load the gun and unload the gun, basics of general awareness, unfortunately, women are more likely to be physically attacked than somebody like I am. So we talk a little bit about just being aware of your surroundings and listening to those gut feelings. And then we go downstairs and shoot. And they get to try a bunch of different guns, handguns, rifles. And they come upstairs afterwards, and it's a social hour. They get to interact with other brand new lady shooters in the area and have some wine and some cupcakes, and we do some giveaways. It's a great time.
Is it hosted by women? Is the class held by women?
Yes,
Sam's probably
fact,
there, right? Yeah.
So up till recently, within the last 3-4 weeks, we have recently hired a full-time female trainer.
Nice.
Here, so she is kind of taking that over. In years past, it's been myself or Vinny who have primarily taught that. We do have another female trainer that works here part-time, and she's been trying to do them when she can. But now that we've got Elizabeth here, she's taking it over, and she's already making some changes, which are going to be good.
You remember, I think that's really smart. I really do, Phil, because you remember when, I think it was Weber Chevrolet was the very first dealership to feature female car salespeople, And my wife actually went over and bought a vehicle from them because of that.
Huh.
And there's less intimidation and whatever. I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's the girl club, like the guy code, you know,
yeah,
that we
sure.
have. I think there's some comfortability in that. So I think that's really smart, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good thing, too.
People can go to therangestl.com and you can just click on the training tab and you can find out when the next one of these is scheduled or any of the other training classes. I know one I've attended a couple times is the guys with guns. That do you mm-hmm. still do those monthly?
Well, no, we do those kind of on a quarterly basis. Okay. We have a harder time right. filling those guys. Guys seem to be
they know it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the great thing about that one is you get to go there you know, as somebody who owns a few guns, you get to go there and shoot things you might not otherwise have ever have a chance to shoot, which is maybe a full auto or something like that, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The ammo issues have put a little hamper on that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's made it a little bit harder for us to have those high round count events just because ammo is so hard to get right now.
I went to Vegas with some people, and we went to a store called the Gun Store, and you can rent their different firearms, you know, and have, you know, your experience. 600 rounds a minute was the saw. Have you shot that thing?
Oh yeah, I've shot multiple. I've shot lots of saws when I was in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service.
Very fun rifle.
Yeah.
Very fun rifle to shoot.
It was amazing, and it was expensive because it's over in about 3 seconds. Well, a minute. But man, outstanding hardware, really is.
Well, and maybe you can talk about that for a minute, Phil, because you know, I've been around guns for a long time. People who are kind of new to it, maybe they don't understand this, but certain guns feel better in your hand than others, and they're all a little bit different. And the great thing about your rental desk there down at the range is that if you sell it upstairs, you've generally got one downstairs that people can rent and shoot first, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We try very hard. Now, we certainly don't have everything that from the retail floor downstairs on the range, but we've got like 80-something handguns down there to try out, which is a good number.
Yeah.
And it's extremely important. You know, I tell customers all the time that don't just because your neighbor's friend's cousin said that this pistol is the best doesn't mean it's the best one for you.
And everybody gets that, I'm sure.
Just kind of run down for a minute. Give people an idea what some of the other classes are. We kind of highlighted the girls with guns, but you guys have got extensive, even hand-to-hand self-defense classes, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Wow.
So we do a lot of basic pistol and CCW classes, and then we get into some more advanced level defensive handgun classes and upper level carbine classes and shotgun classes, to include some hand-to-hand stuff occasionally. We don't do a lot of that, but we do have an outside trainer we bring in to do some of that occasionally, and then some general awareness classes, and I mean anything and everything, and we're always open for more ideas as well.
Well, when you know, maybe husbands or boyfriends are talking to their girlfriend or wife, you know, thinking, you know, just talking about it, because usually, like we said, you know, men are the ones that have the guns. But when they're talking to their woman, what would you say would be the best way to present it to the female of the family, if you will, the daughter or the wife or the grandmother, on getting signed up for your program specifically for the women?
Really, the best suggestion is to come in and chat with us. You know, talk with myself, with Dustin, with Vinny, with Elizabeth, any of our trainers, to express any concerns that you might have. Or, you know, everybody wants to shoot. Anybody that wants to shoot wants to do it for their own purpose. Sometimes it's for self-defense. Sometimes it's just for stress relief and fun.
Sure.
And we can help guide you the right direction to help fit those needs as best as possible.
Very good. But I tell you what, great having you on again, Phil, and I'll see you soon because I'm in there pretty often.
We need to meet over there. I'd love to meet you over there. I've never been, so we need to go over there. And I've got a judge. Have you ever shot a judge?
I have not.
Oh, my. You'll be buying another one. Is that part of the rental program?
We do not have a judge on the rental program.
Okay. I'll bring mine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Sounds good. And bring the ammo, too, because that's expensive these days.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right, Phil Balsamo with the Range St. Louis West. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you, Phil.
I appreciate that. TheRangeSTL.com, 14803 Manchester Road out in Baldwin, just across from Velasquez Park. Kind of sits in behind the Wendy's there off Manchester Road.
Oh, go by for a burger and then go shooting.
Perfect.
You know what's really crazy? I've never met this guy, just first conversation with Phil. You know, some gun people are so intense.
Yeah.
And some of the instructors are even more intense. And this guy's just, you know, served his country. Awesome. Just a nice guy. We got to go. We got to do that.
He is down to earth. We'll get out there and do that. We'll drag Carl along with us.
I'd love
that. Have some fun.
All right.
Sounds good.
Good show.
Great show. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great show, Carl.
The best show that we've done all week. Pew, pew.
With a big iron on your hip.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. See you, boys.
When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Get more at 971talk.com.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say.
Carl, I have to give you a kudos there for some creative bump music.
Boat loves this song.
Big iron on his hip.
I love this song.
What a voice, man. You got a set of pipes.
Marty Robbins says nothing on Bo Matthews.
Yeah, Marty. R.I.P.
Yeah, that's true. You got a Chuck's Boots. You want to talk about Chuck's Boots?
No. They do sponsor this segment. And the cool thing about it is Chuck's and Thoroughgood Boots, which I wear every weekend and sometimes during the week when it's cool enough to work outside. Thoroughgood and Chuck's Boots teamed up to give away a Polaris General 1000, beautiful side-by-side with the American flag scheme on it. You got to look at it. You got to see it. You got to get registered for it. No purchase necessary. Go to chucksboots.com or go to Chuck's Boots Facebook page. Maybe do both. And get registered to win it, because it will be given away to somebody for free. Chucksboots.com.
All right, ladies, pay attention, because we got something special for you, or if you're looking for something for your loved one who is of the female persuasion, who likes to go out and hang out with the girls and shoot guns. My friend Phil Balsamo joining us from the Range St. Louis West. He happens to be the training manager over there, and you can join him on morning coffee with Phil every morning on Facebook. He gives you a little tour of the range and what they've got in new over. Night's fantastic. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad we could get you back on the radio here to talk about this. I follow you guys on Facebook. It kind of keeps me up to date on what you've got in stock and all of that stuff, which is great. But I noticed the other day you guys had another one of your Girls Just Want to Have Guns events. I've seen them before. In fact, I believe maybe Trisha and Denise from my show have been out there before in the past.
Absolutely, they have.
This thing sells out all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, every month. Yeah, wow. We do it the second Wednesday of every month, and we sell out usually 2 months ahead. It's an extremely popular event.
And how many fit in the class?
30 ladies.
Wow. And do you start off with completely novice, or do you have to have does the female have to have some experience?
Oh, no, zero experience. This is very much geared towards the brand new shooter. You come out, you're nervous about being at a gun range, and we make it an extremely fun, friendly environment, and ladies have a great time.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it's been described to me. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions here, but sometimes it can be intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
If you're around, you know, other people who are more experienced shooters, and you feel like you're a greenhorn, you don't know what's going on. That the whole idea of this, I'm assuming, Phil, is just to put people at ease.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's this sport of shooting has been a very heavily male dominated sport for a very long time. So some ladies come in here very apprehensive about what they're doing, and they're nervous about literally just walking in the door. And we have a very open and welcoming, warm environment that seems to put a lot of that tension at ease. And that's what we aim to do.
I think it's so important. And, it's actually shocking because in my experience, my wife, my daughter, all are actually a better shot than me. And I don't know what that is. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. So it's very, very common when we have new shooters in the store and one happens to be male and one happens to be female, that the female will outshoot the male almost every time.
Is that because they envision the male's face on the target?
Whoa.
By chance? No, I'm just kidding.
Possible.
How about the X-male? I thought it was about, I actually thought it was about their low blood pressure. My wife and I both had we were at a heart event for BJC and they both, mm-hmm. they took our blood pressure. And my wife's was like extremely calm.
Sure.
And I was like, you're like a serial killer. and they tested my blood pressure and it was actually really good. And I was like, yeah, she says you have the blood pressure of a 16-year-old. I'm like, yep, there you go. Anyway, I get excited about a new firearm and I know Mark, you just bought a 10 millimeter.
Yeah, last year, in fact, at the range, went up and picked it up in a Glock 20.
So your first experience with it, there's there's butterflies. You're excited about shooting this thing for the first time, right? I mean, I think anybody has that experience.
Yeah, and it's good because Phil, correct me if I'm wrong here, but in talking to Ron McCain in the past, a good percentage of people who've been through the doors at the range in the last year, year and a half during this COVID mess, a lot of them were first time gun buyers.
Absolutely, yeah. Lots and lots of first-time gun buyers, which is awesome, and for me as a trainer, a little overwhelming because we've had lots of those brand new shooter questions and tons of the brand new shooter classes happening, and it's been great to see them actually getting some training to help speed up that learning curve a little bit.
Yeah, you do those obviously in group classes, but you also do private training at the range, don't mm-hmm. you? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
A question for you on this Girls Just Want to Have Guns program. You said it loads up, a couple months out, so you want to get booked or scheduled. This is not a CCW class, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's a CCW by the state of Missouri is mandated to be a minimum of 8 hours long.
Okay.
This is a general gun safety class, like basics of how to hold the gun and how to load the gun and unload the gun, basics of general awareness. Unfortunately, women are more likely to be physically attacked than somebody like I am. So we talk a little bit about just being aware of your surroundings and listening to those gut feelings. And then we go downstairs and shoot. And they get to try a bunch of different guns, handguns, rifles. And they come upstairs afterwards, and it's a social hour. They get to interact with other brand new lady shooters in the area and have some wine and some cupcakes, and we do some giveaways. It's a great time.
Is it hosted by women? Is the class held by women?
Yes, Sam's probably there, right? Yeah.
So up till recently, within the last 3-4 weeks, we have recently hired a full-time female trainer.
Nice.
Here, so she is kind of taking that over. In years past, it's been myself or Vinny who have primarily taught that. We do have another female trainer that works here part-time, and she's been trying to do them when she can. But now that we've got Elizabeth here, she's taken it over, and she's already making some changes, which are going to be good.
You remember, I think that's really smart. I really do, Phil, because you remember when, I think it was Weber Chevrolet was the very first dealership to feature female car salespeople. And my wife actually went over and bought a vehicle from them because of that.
Huh.
And there's less intimidation and whatever. I don't know what it is, but, it's the girl club, like the guy code, that we have. I think there's some comfortability in that. So I think that's really smart, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing, too.
People can go to therangestl.com and you can just click on the training tab and you can find out when the next one of these is scheduled or any of the other training classes. I know one I've attended a couple times is the guy with guns. That do you mm-hmm. still do those monthly?
Well, no, we do those kind of on a quarterly basis. Okay. We have a harder time filling those. Guys seem to be
they know it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the great thing about that one is you get to go there as somebody who owns a few guns, you get to go there and shoot things you might not otherwise have ever have a chance to shoot, which is maybe a full auto or something like that, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The ammo issues have put a little hamper on that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's made it a little bit harder for us to have those high round count events just because ammo is so hard to get right now.
I went to Vegas with some people, and we went to a store called the Gun Store, and you can rent their different firearms, you know, and have, yeah, you know, your experience. 600 rounds a minute was the saw. Have you shot that thing?
Oh yeah, I've shot multiple. I've shot lots of saws when I was in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service.
Very fun rifle.
Yeah.
Very fun rifle to shoot.
It was amazing, and it was expensive because it's over in about 3 seconds. Well, a minute. But man, outstanding hardware. It really is.
Well, and maybe you can talk about that for a minute, Phil, because you know, I've been around guns for a long time. People who are kind of new to it, maybe they don't understand this, but certain guns feel better in your hand than others. And they're all a little bit different. And the great thing about your rental desk there down at the range is that if you sell it upstairs, you've generally got one downstairs that people can rent and shoot first, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We try very hard. Now, we certainly don't have everything that from the retail floor downstairs on the range, but we've got like 80-something handguns down there to try out, which is a good number.
Yeah.
And it's extremely important. You know, I tell customers all the time that don't, just because your neighbor's friend's cousin said that this pistol is the best, doesn't mean it's the best one for you.
And everybody gets that, I'm sure.
Just kind of run down for a minute. Give people an idea what some of the other classes are. We kind of highlighted the girls with guns, but you guys have got extensive, even hand-to-hand self-defense classes, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep. Wow. So we do a lot of basic pistol and CCW classes, and then we get into some more advanced level defensive handgun classes and upper level carbine classes and shotgun classes, to include some hand-to-hand stuff occasionally. We don't do a lot of that, but we do have an outside trainer we bring in to do some of that occasionally, and then some general awareness classes, and I mean anything and everything, and we're always open for more ideas as well.
Well, when you know, maybe husbands or boyfriends are talking to their girlfriend or wife, you know, thinking, you know, just talking about it, because usually, like we said, you know, men are the ones that have the guns. But when they're talking to their woman, what would you say would be the best way to present it to the female of the family, if you will, the daughter or the wife or the grandmother, on getting signed up for your program specifically for the women?
Really, the best suggestion is to come in and chat with us. You know, talk with myself, with Dustin, with Vinny, with Elizabeth, any of our trainers, to express any concerns that you might have. Or, you know, everybody wants to shoot. Anybody that wants to shoot wants to do it for their own purpose. Sometimes it's for self-defense. Sometimes it's just for stress relief and fun.
Sure.
And we can help guide you the right direction to help fit those needs as best as possible.
Very good. But I tell you what, great having you on again, Phil, and I'll see you soon because I'm in there pretty often.
We need to meet over there. I'd love to meet you over there. I've never been, so we need to go over there. And I've got a judge. Have you ever shot a judge?
I have not.
Oh, my. You'll be buying another one. Is that part of the rental program?
We do not have a judge on the rental program.
Okay. I'll bring mine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Sounds good. And bring the ammo, too, because that's expensive these days.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right, Phil Balsamo with the Range St. Louis West. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you, Phil.
I appreciate that. TheRangeSTL.com, 14803 Manchester Road out in Baldwin, just across from Velasquez Park. Kind of sits in behind the Wendy's there off Manchester Road.
Oh, go by for a burger and then go shooting.
Perfect.
You know what's really crazy? I've never met this guy, just first conversation with Phil. You know, some gun people are so intense.
Yeah.
And some of the instructors are even more intense. And this guy's just, you know, served his country. Awesome. Just a nice guy. We got to go. We got to do that.
He is down to earth. We'll get out there and do that. We'll drag Carl along with us.
I'd love
that. Have some fun. All right. Sounds good.
Good show.
Great show. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great show, Carl.
The best show that we've done all week. Pew, pew.
With a big iron on your hip.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. See you, boys.
When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his head.
Get more at 971talk.com.